My name is Rachel Rofe. I created the show because I wanted to help you see that if you have a choice, you can choose a better life. If you're listening to this podcast, you're in a pretty fortunate position. You have free will, ability to connect to the internet, and access to all kinds of new education. This podcast is meant to help you make the most of your good fortune. We talk with all kinds of people here from all walks of life because I want you to see that no matter what your situation, there's always a way to create a life that you're proud of. Hello. So today's episode is with Jia Zhang. He is the founder of Fearbuster, a keynote speaker and author of the book on how to overcome rejection, Rejection Proof. And in this episode today, we just had so much fun exploring rejection. Jia actually had an experiment a while ago where he had 100 days of rejection, where every day for 100 days he would try out some new outlandish request. So it would be something like going to a Krispy Kreme and asking them to special make him donuts in the shape of Olympic rings in 15 minutes, or going and knocking on someone's door and asking if he could take a picture playing soccer in their backyard, just all kinds of random things. And during that time, he just learned so much about rejection. And so in this episode, I asked him different questions about what he learned, the results of his experiment. I was really surprised to hear how many people said yes and how many people said no. We talked about how people can get started getting rejected more comfortably, and how rejection is very tied into, you know, if you want to make more of a difference, if you want to make more of an impact, then you've got to get rejected more. So I learned a lot in this episode. I thought it was really fantastic, and I'm excited for you to hear it. And actually, I'm recording this here. Jia and I talked in February, and we are timing this with the release of his new book, Rejection Proof. But as I say this, I just wanted to get this out even sooner because I think it's such a great episode. So it'll be April by the time you hear this. And I know I will be so excited for you to finally get to listen. So enjoy. And as always, please let me know what you think. So Jia, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me, Rachel.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I think you have so much great stuff to share with the audience. So the intention behind the show, A Better Life, is to show people that if they have a choice, they can choose a better life. So in that spirit, can you take a minute to share with us some of the things that you're most proud of in your life?
Sure. I think they all come in different periods. In my teenage years, I grew up in China. And in my teenage years, I met Bill Gates when he visited China. And he inspired me so much about being an entrepreneur. So I migrated to the United States when I was 16 by myself with that dream of becoming an entrepreneur someday. So that's one thing I'm pretty proud of. And in my 20s, I married my wife. So I'm pretty proud of that. She's awesome. She's been a life partner and also a team member. She's just supported me throughout my journey. And then in my 30s, that's when I made a hard choice of quitting my job and really pursuing my childhood dream that inspired by Bill Gates, wanting to be an entrepreneur. So I quit my six-figure income from a Fortune 500 company and started on my own. And pretty proud of that. And I was had an investment opportunity, then I was rejected. I didn't quit after that. I wanted to quit, but I didn't quit. And I turned that into a blog. And that blog is where this thing called 100 Days of Rejection. And that turned into a book. And that turned into really me speaking everywhere. And we're also looking into developing a lot of stuff based on that concept. And in the meantime, I've inspired, but this whole concept has inspired a lot of people. So I'm pretty proud of that as well. So that's a really long answer to your question.
No, I think that's great. You have a lot to be proud about. And I would love to dig into this 100 Days of Rejection because I mean, I just think it's such a fascinating thing. I mentioned in an email that I had heard about it from somebody else first. I didn't realize it was originally your experiment. And when I was just researching more about it, I've seen you've spoken at Google and articles about this on Huffington Post, MTV, AOL, one of your YouTube videos, like 5 million views, and just so cool. People loved it. And I saw in your Google video, people just gave so many comments about how this was one of the most inspiring things they've ever come across. So I would love for you to tell our audience just what those 100 days of rejection were, what the experiment was all about.
Yeah, so basically after I was turned down with an investment for my startup, and I felt really deeply hurt and unsure of myself, and I kind of want to quit my company because that fear of getting rejected again. And then I found, wow, you know, this is not good. If I want to be an entrepreneur, if I want to change the world, I cannot be afraid of rejection like this. So I searched online and to see how I can overcome rejection. And then I found this thing called rejection therapy. It's a card game, basically ask you to go out and look for rejection. So in the meantime, you get desensitized yourself from the pain. So I said, okay, this sounds really fun. I'm going to do this. So I made a blog about it, and it was a video blog. I basically wore my iPhone on my neck, and I went out and just looking for rejection. I made up all these rejection, I call them rejection attempts, basically outrageous questions I ask people, you know, for sure they will reject me. So that's what I did. That's what I did for 100 days. And it actually caught fire. I can go a little bit deeper into that if you want.
Yeah, I would love if you could give some examples of the things that you tried to get people to do.
Yeah, so I'll give a couple of few days. The first day, I went to a stranger and I tried to borrow $100 from that person. And I was just scared. I was sweating. I was shaking. And the guy said no. I just ran away. Because that felt so humiliating, and rejection is very painful, right? So, but then that night, I looked at myself. I had that all on video, and I started analyzing myself on the video, and I found, you know what? That's not a life or death experience. I shouldn't be this scared. You know, the guy was even asking me why. I mean, he said no, then he asked me why, and then I just ran away. I'm like, wow, the guy's interested. Maybe I should just engage with him and answer his question and see what happens. Instead, I just ran away. But in my life, I'm just pretty much like that. When I was getting rejected by someone, I just want to run away as fast as I could to minimize the pain. You know, I never thought I should engage and I should talk. So the next day, I went to a burger joint. After my meal, instead of asking for a drink refill, I asked for a burger refill. And the person said no. Then this time, I asked why, and we started having a conversation. Just by staying there after a rejection and not running away, I felt so much better. I felt, you know, more confident, and I was joking, I was having fun. So the third day, I went to a Krispy Kreme, and where I asked them to give me donuts that look like Olympic symbols. So basically, you interlink those donuts together. No way they would say yes, right? and this is where all the magic happened. The person actually took my orders very seriously. And in 15 minutes, she made donuts that look like Olympic symbols, and she gave them to me for free. And I was just dumbfounded, because I was going there expecting to get a no just to toughen myself up. But instead, I got a yes. So my rejection attempt was rejected. And that just changed my perspective of life. You know, I never thought people could be this nice. And I used to think, you know, I just fighting over rejection is the way to go. But actually, now I felt maybe just putting myself out there and asking these questions, making these requests and see what happens. Maybe that's the key to this whole thing. So that's the spirit I took for the rest 100 days. And I asked a lot of crazy stuff over the 100 days, but I learned so much as well.
Yeah, you know, I noticed in your video with asking somebody if you could play soccer in their backyard, you said that one of your lessons was just asking, when you were asking with confidence, it was completely different. You got a different response, right?
Absolutely. So the person let me, in that episode, the person let me in to his backyard and play soccer. And when I left, I don't know if he was more confused or I was more confused, because, how can you let me do this, right? So I said, why did you let me do this? And he said, it's so off the wall, how can I say no? That's another light bulb that kind of went off in my head, because, you know, maybe there's more than just asking, right? The other person has incentives and curiosities and emotions, might say yes to me, no matter how ridiculous, you know, it is. Maybe it's not in spite of this thing being ridiculous, but it's because of this question being ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun request. How many people get their doors knocked on and ask if someone can go and play soccer in their backyard?
Yeah, absolutely.
So how did you come up with these ideas of things to ask people? Was it from the rejection therapy game, or did you just come up with them all yourself?
No, I just came up with them on my own. The rejection therapy game was good, but the thing is, I wanted to have my own spin on it. I want to put my own, I want to have fun, right? I want to have put my own imagination or creativity into the these 100 days when I was driving, and I constantly think about ways I would get rejected at.
That's so cool. So out of the 100 rejections, how many yeses and nos did you end up getting?
Yeah, so I tabulated the whole thing. In the end, I got 51 yeses and 49 nos.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was really crazy. It is crazy. But the thing is, I learned two things. One is the world is so colorful and diverse, and people could be mean, but most people are nice. You just, when you're just going out there and be confident and ask for a question, some people want to help you. Some people just want to say, sometimes it's harder for people to say no than say yes. And secondly, you know, like I turned this thing into almost like, they call this a lean startup, right? The product development, where you develop something and you get constant feedback and you improve and then you get better. So I treat myself as an experiment and as a product. Every time I get rejected or get accepted, I would use things I learned to improve myself. And in the end, I got so good at getting yeses, and I just felt like a different person.
Wow. I love that you ended up getting 51 yeses. I feel like that's so symbolic that it was just over half, just over, like to make it the majority yes.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that either. You know, I started counting, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe this. I got more yeses than nos, and this is called rejected therapy.
There was a woman that I came across, her name's Tiffany Han, and she was doing this 100 days of rejection that she must have learned from you. But she was saying that for her too, it was really surprising. She would go and try getting rejected for these different things, and more often than not, she would get these yeses, just mind-blowing to her.
It's really symbolic in life. You know, most of the time, we're the biggest rejecter of ourselves instead of other people. We're the biggest critic of ourselves. We keep telling ourselves, I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to look crazy. I don't want other people to laugh at me. This is, hearing a no is so painful. We see rejection as something really painful and negative thing. So we try to avoid the negativity. But in the meantime, we lose out on a lot of opportunities, a lot of learning opportunities, a lot of yeses that we could get just by simply putting yourself out there and making this request.
Yeah, you know, you've mentioned in a video that I was watching that often when you ask for something and you get rejected, it's often even more about the other person than it is about you. Can you say more about that?
Yes, absolutely. So say you talk to a stranger, you want to make a request, even someone that you know, you want to ask for something, and the person says no, and usually a lot of people would think, wow, you know, that must mean that person doesn't like me, you know, she hates me. Maybe I didn't dress up well. Maybe I'm not smart enough. I'm not good looking enough, and blah blah blah. All these dialogue we started having in our own mind that we're not good enough, or maybe we get angry. How can this person say no to us, right? But actually, it's really less about us, because if you ask the same request to 100 different people, you're gonna get maybe 30 no's and 30 yeses and maybe 50 maybes. I don't know, I'm just putting all the numbers out there. But, you know, you have this diverse answers on these people. It was because they have different background. It's because they have different mood at that moment. And it's because what they experienced that morning, or maybe it's a lifelong of, I mean, maybe culture, upbringing, and maybe experience and, you know, prejudice. Those things are out of your control. When you are out there, all you do is to ask that question. You have no control over what made that rejection or acceptance. So it really says most about the other person, and you don't have any control over that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. One thing that I meant to ask you before, and then we moved on, but you said that after you got to the 100 days, you learned a lot about how to ask for something. Can you tell us what you learned? Or I guess, what are the key factors in asking for something now?
I mean, there are two parts. The first part is to, before you ask, before you get a decision from the other person, how you ask that question plays a major role in getting yes and no. And the second part is, after you hear a no, and most of the times we do, and you know, you can turn that no into a yes if you do a certain thing. So I'll start with the first one. For example, if you give the reason for your request, that actually helps a lot. That will increase your chance of getting yes by a lot. You know, I've experienced this myself. You know, when I go out there and ask people for something, I add the word because, you know, because I want to do this, because for this reason. And that did make a huge difference. You know, people are more likely to say yes to that. So another tip is after you hear a no, don't just run away. Most people would just run, right? but don't run away, and you can ask why. May I know why that you would say no to that, or may I know why you couldn't do it? Some people would just make up a reason and get you off their porch, right? But a lot of people will give you an honest reason, and it's because of this reason, because of, I'll give you a story, you know, in one rejection attempt, I knock on a door, and I wanted to plant a flower in his yard. You know, I feel people's backyard is like a playground. And the person said no, and then he was about to turn away and ask him, man, why? And he said, well, because I have a dog. Everything I plant in my backyard, my dog would dig it up or destroy it. And actually, if you go across the street to go to my neighbor, and she loves flowers, and maybe she will say yes to that. So I did. I went across the street, and lo and behold, I was planting a flower in her backyard. So just because I didn't let that guy leave and ask why, I got a reason that says it's not because I'm ugly, it's not because I'm not trustworthy or this request is outrageous. It was because what I offered did not fit his needs. And in fact, he kind of trusted me because he gave me a lead in sales terms that I converted.
Absolutely. What a great story. That's awesome. And the first part of what you mentioned, using the word because, I'm sure you've heard of that Xerox example.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I actually quoted that example in my book.
Yeah. So for those of you listening, if you haven't heard the Xerox example, there was a study done. Do you remember when it was?
It was back in the 70s, I remember.
Okay, yeah. And so basically someone was doing a test to see, I don't even actually know exactly what the point of the test was, but the findings were that people would go in this line, a line full of people wanting to use a copy machine. And if they would go and just say, can I cut in line because I need to make a copy, then tons of people would let them cut. Do you remember the exact statistics? I wish I had this on hand.
Yes. If you just tell people, can I cut in front of you? There's like 50 to 60% people will say yes to that, actually. It actually shows that people want to say yes in a lot of cases. But if you use the word because, can I cut in front of you? Because I'm in a hurry. So that's a legit reason, right? And that chance of people saying yes to you goes up to like 92% or 93%. Even if you give a bogus reason, meaning not untruthful, but not a good reason. Say, for example, you say, can I cut in line because I need to make coffee? Well, everyone is there to make coffee, right? So that's not a really great reason. But even in that case, because you use the word because and give a reason, the chance of you getting a yes actually stayed about the same. It's over 90%.
That's crazy. I'm so glad you remember those details because it's just crazy. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. But you can, again, it all comes back to this point. All these things you can only learn if you actually put yourself out there. I mean, that Xerox study was in a test environment, right? In real world, you have to put yourself out there and treat yourself as almost like a guinea pig. You have to be brave to just go ask for things. And then you can learn these things on your own.
Yeah, I remember you were saying in one of your videos that if you're not getting rejected on a daily basis, then you're basically rejecting yourself.
Absolutely. We think rejection is the worst thing. You know, it's actually some sort of biological response in us. There were studies that have done this that are saying, you know, we're actually feeling pain, real pain, like physical pain. We aren't getting rejected. So that's why people don't like rejection. And they just want to stay in the shell. They want to stay in the comfort zone. But the thing is, nothing amazing happens in the comfort zone. If you're not going out there getting rejected, that really means you're not trying hard enough. That means you're getting ignored by the world. You're rejecting yourself. So a lot of people ask me, what's the worst thing that can happen is rejection. I mean, that's like almost a truism, right? The worst thing that can happen is people saying no to you. And I tell them, no, the worst thing that can happen is not people say no to you. The worst thing that can happen is you say no to yourself. And we do that every day.
That's such a great point. Is there any time that you've ever regretted asking for anything?
No, actually no. So I make a guideline for myself. One is, it has to be something that's kind of cool and something I want to do. And two is something that has to be legal and ethical. You know, a lot of people ask me, you know, ask a cute girl out. And I said, I can't because I'm married. I'm not going to ask anything to undermine my marriage. And three, it has to be something that doesn't defy the law of physics. you know, I can't ask people, hey, let's just fly off the window with me together. This doesn't make any sense. So if I put myself in these guidelines, I usually don't regret what the things I ask.
Mm. Yeah, those are great points. And one of the things that I really liked that you said in your Google Talk video was you said that President Obama gets rejected more than almost anybody else. And I'm curious, so do you feel like people who play a bigger game, people who want to make more of a difference in the world, are going to get rejected more?
Absolutely, absolutely. The more you stay in your comfort zone, the more you don't grow and stay where you are, the less you will get rejected, because you become insignificant to other people. And really, people just don't care, and people feel you're just who you are. That's okay. They all accept that. But if you really want to grow and learn, you have to get out of your comfort zone into what I call the possibility zone. That's where you elevate yourself. That's where you take on more responsibilities. That's where maybe you start your own company. That's why maybe you get into politics and pursue your lifelong dreams. So the more responsibilities, the more impact that you have, the more people will hate you. Not just reject you, more people will hate you, because what you do is actually not only impacting them, but also disrupting what they think the world should be. That's why you see some of the most high impact people and the most powerful people are the most hated people in the world. Just, you know, that's because the higher you are, the more rejections you will get. So it's almost like a progressive, you know, we have this progressive tax, right? The more money you make, kind of the higher percentage of tax you would pay of that income you would pay in tax. Same thing with rejection. The more impact you make in the world, the more rejections you will get.
Mm. How about in your experience? Did you see that people related to you differently as you were getting more and more comfortable with rejection?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's two parts. And one is I just became so much more confident than I was before. I felt almost invincible. I can ask anything from anyone, anywhere. And that type of, I guess, swagger and confidence, it doesn't come in from a very arrogant way, right? I make sure they know I'm asking this in a humble way. I let them know that they're doing me a favor if they say yes, but also make sure they know it's okay if they say no. With that mentality, I have all the confidence in the world. And people respond to that in my personal life, in my professional life, but also because what I'm doing right now is I actually interact with a lot of people every day who are strangers, and they tell me, hey, I love what you're doing, has inspired me, so I'm doing this. I'm starting a new business, I'm getting my dream job, I'm starting a ministry. That type of impact, you know, it was only happening because I found something that people need and I'm trying to help them. That type of sense, that type of impact also inspired a lot of my friends as well. So it's really a huge net positive in my life, but also in other people's lives as well.
Wow. Have you heard of, like, I know that there's these retreats, or I don't know if they're called retreats, but I guess experiences is a better word, where people will pay to do all these crazy things. And one of the exercises I've heard, I don't remember who does it, but they'll basically drop you off at a country where you don't know the language and have you get from wherever they drop you off to somewhere else across the country. You have no money and you have to learn how to just ask for what you need, even if you can't even speak the language. Have you heard about this?
I haven't heard about that, but that sounds so fun.
Yeah, you'd be great. You'd be awesome at it. And people say that just the lessons that they learn from it just keeps them forever changed.
Yeah. It's actually, you don't have to go to a foreign country to have that experience. You can stay in North America and speak perfect English and have that experience. Just you have to get out of your comfort zone and do the things that you wouldn't normally do, ask for things you wouldn't normally ask. You would get the same experience.
That's a great point. So now, knowing what you know now and where you are, like, do you ever feel worried that you're about to get rejected when you're asking for something?
Yeah, so I call this the courage muscle, right? So do I worry? Most of times, no. But you can't completely eradicate fear from you can conquer fear, you can overcome fear, but you cannot eradicate it, because it's a biological response system that's in our DNA. It was actually keeping us alive for these thousands of years that we evolved to become who we are right now. So that fear will always be there. But the thing is, it's like if you keep getting out of your comfort zone, if you keep asking for things that you might get rejected at, you're actually exercising your muscle of asking for things, of that courage. Some people mistake it to be that you're either born with that or you don't have it, right? Some people have it, some people don't. But it's actually something we develop as we grow up and as we gain experience in the world. You can actually gain that muscle by exercising. You gain that muscle by getting out of your comfort zone. That's why one of my products I build online, it's an online course where I take people through this process, 100 days of rejection process. I call this rejection gym, because the world is your gym and you're using rejection as a dumbbell and, you know, to strengthen your courage muscle. So in real life situation, you're going to be have more courage to ask for things and to do things.
Mm. Awesome. Do you like say anything to yourself, or do you teach people to say anything to themselves as they're working up this courage? Or is it just a matter of just take those 5 seconds of courage and do it?
Yeah, a couple of things. One is I try to use curiosity more than anything else. I ask myself, what can I learn in this interaction? And so no matter what that person said, is it yes or no? I really don't care. I want to get the learning from this. And also curious, you know, to find out maybe what I can do to perfect this request. I don't have control over the other person saying yes or no to me. Again, it's just more about this other person than me, right? But I do have control of how I compose myself. So I tell myself, you know, hey, just go out there and make the best request you can. Make sure you stand up straight. Make sure you make eye contact. Make sure you speak up. Make sure you're humble. Make sure you're respectful. So when I do those things, and they can be all controlled by me, if I can do all those things, I'm curious to find out, will that be a yes or no? So when I have those self-preparation and have that self-focus, but also curiosity for the response, the fear is not that bad anymore.
Mm, I can see that. You're putting yourself in a childlike state of mind where it's just about exploring.
Yeah, absolutely. And my son is 2.5 right now, and he is fearless. he's asking for things and he just wants it. And usually I oblige, and sometimes I don't if he's asking for something that's not good. But the thing is, we lose so much of that edge, so much of that fearlessness as we grow up.
Absolutely. Yeah, we really do. And so I think it's really fun to go back and put yourself in that curiosity point.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for people who are listening and they're inspired and they feel like they want to get rejected more, do you think that people should, I mean, I guess there's a couple ways they could go about it. So they could go and start just doing random things like you did to just build their rejection muscle, or they could figure out whatever their goal is and figure out what's scary to them and then start like asking questions to get rejected there? Or how would you recommend that people, I guess, start getting rejected?
Well, the first thing is you can start small. If you're going to try this on your own, I recommend anyone to try this out to get rejected. Just start small. You know, go to a burger joint and ask for a burger refill and see what happens. Ask for these small stuff. When you go to a store, say, hey, can I speak over your store's intercom? These are the small things that gradually is outside of your comfort zone, but once you do them, you're going to expand the comfort zone. You're going to make what's used to be uncomfortable part of your comfort zone. So then soon, eventually, you almost feel like invincible. So that's what I recommend people to do. If you feel like you need some guidance, feel free to reach out to me. And I'm the trainer. I can take you through the rejection gym. That's my online course that will take you through 100 days of rejection. And we'll come out of that. You're going to be pretty buff mentally.
That's awesome. Now, I was just thinking, as I was imagining people listening and thinking, like imagining themselves going through and asking for a burger refill or something, just panic. So I'm curious for you, what was the worst thing that happened throughout this process?
Yeah, most people are really not mean. I just learned if I'm nice myself, it's hard for people to be mean to me when I'm nice to them. Usually this worst thing that happened are always in my mind. I can give you one example. That was not in the 100 days of rejection, but that's where it turned out to be not as pleasant as of these requests. I went to a barber shop. I want to ask a barber or a hairdresser, I guess a better word. I asked a hairdresser, can I cut your hair? And that was my request. It's pretty weird, right? The hairdresser, she smiled and she was like, you want to cut my hair? And she was amused by this crazy request. And then I give a reason, right? But this time, I give a reason that's not authentic. That's why I want to tell people that you want to stay authentic and you want to stay true. Don't ever make up stuff that's not true. this time I said, because I want to practice this thing I learned from How to Win Friends and Influence People, you know, Dale Carnegie's classic book about caring about other people's interests more than you, right? So I said, I think you could be bored with your job. Let me cut your hair and maybe to, you know, lighten the mood.